The wilderness is behind them. Phew. The hardest part is over and it's all downhill from here. That's the feeling we get from Deuteronomy 26. It starts out saying, once you have entered the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you take possession of it and are settled there, then, and well, we'll get to that part later. But let's just stop there for a moment and notice that there is no mention of the 40 years of camping out and making do. That's all behind them now. Even in the brief historical account about to follow this intro, there is no recognition that there was a whole generation that grew up with no fixed address. Doesn't matter. Good times are ahead, and that is all behind them now. Today we might imagine newlyweds John and Sally having the similar mindset upon entering their new home for the first time. Crossing the threshold with exuberance, they blow off all those wilderness years that preceded this moment. That is, they throw off all those unsettled feelings with their coats and settle down on their new kitchen chairs. No more worrying if they will find a partner to share life with. No more university exams. No more living with parents during the summer months, and no permanent address. That is all behind them now. They give little thought to the past as they press on into the future. The ancient Jewish people are settling down in a place they can call home. This place will eventually become, as we know, the country called Israel. The Lord, their God, knows how easy it is to forget the past when the going is good. The Lord isn't concerned with having them keep the memory of all the unpleasant hardships of the wilderness of Sinai alive. Instead, the Lord is hoping they will keep their faith alive when things are pleasant. Once they enter the land, the Lord is keen on having them remember that all they have and enjoy is gift. The land and all the good things they have are a gift from the Lord their God. So the Lord gives them a ritual embedded in a liturgy to keep their relationship on the up and up. They are going to need it in the future, you see. Deuteronomy 26 is a liturgy, a provision in itself given to the Jewish people containing an offertory and a confession of faith. There are a few things to be grateful to the Lord for, so much so that a response of gratitude is quite appropriate, actually quite necessary, considering what God has given to them. Right from the beginning of this liturgy, there is an oft-repeated phrase that describes the people's current reality. The phrase is, "This is the land your God is giving you." The worshiper is directed to say it to a priest when bringing an offering. What are they to say? This, "I am declaring right now before the Lord my God that I have indeed arrived in the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give to us. Where they are and what they have is all given to them by the Lord." Give is the verb and gift is the idea. To recognize this is as important to their new life in this new land as the roof over their heads. There is more to life in the land that the Lord has given and more to recognize as coming from God. The land is flowing with milk and honey, we heard. The Lord gives these good gifts too. So the worshiper confesses, "So now I am bringing the early produce of the fertile ground that you, Lord, have given me." On the sixth time the action word to give is found, we see the Jewish settler exhorted to celebrate all the good things the Lord your God has given you and your family. John and Sally may well be better off to forget the wilderness of their former single university days, living with Ma and Pa, but do they really think that they got where they are without divine help? The Jewish people are instructed to think about the Lord's help in the past to get them where they are in the present. People of faith in the Lord are supposed to make a direct correlation between the house and yard they now enjoy and their previous history, and God's activity in all of it. They are firmly directed to say a few things to the Lord once they enter the temple and give the priest a basket of the good things that sprouted up in the garden the Lord gave them. The ritual is to start in this way. The priest will then take the basket from you and place it before the Lord your God's altar. Then you should solemnly state before the Lord your God the history of God's giving relationship with you. A person bringing the offering says, "First of all, I confess that my family tree goes back to Jacob, who didn't have a street address or a backyard garden with good soil to grow good things. Then I confess that honestly he was about to die, and before resorting to eating red dirt, he had to head down to Egypt to survive. Then with good food and a warm fire, naturally, well, then there were babies. And so we give thanks to you, God, for all of these babies and making us this great, great nation. We cried out to you, Lord, too, when the Egyptians oppressed us, and you came and you saved us. And you did this like a military general, getting us out of Egypt with an amazing display of war power. Clearly, the Lord was at work in their past to get them to the present. This would be easy to recognize at first, once crossing the threshold of their new homes, but the next generation and the one after that, and then the next one after that, would have a more difficult time to remember, let alone be grateful, particularly when new wilderness experiences crop up. The temptation to credit ourselves with what we have gained and where we are in life will come along, if it hasn't already. The wilderness may be behind, but new temptations come along once the dust settles. Keeping the liturgy of Deuteronomy 26 means keeping up a good relationship with the Lord, who gives and gives and gives. And keeping up this good relationship and this acknowledgement of God as giver can help us to fight off temptations a little bit more. Jesus shows this to be true. He confesses the truth about God with each temptation thrown his way in the wilderness of Judea. Jesus holds his ground against the evil one because he has been holding ground with the truth about the Lord God ever since he was a boy. As John and Sally fail to recognize what the Jewish settler does, namely that the Lord is the one gifting them with every aspect of their new life, they may readily fall to all sorts of temptations and possibly end up back in Egypt. You see, upon entering the land and settling down, Sally and John start looking for things to put in the house, things to make them happy, things to enjoy that they didn't get to enjoy in the wilderness, things and things and things and more things. They gather, they eat, they build, they party, and recreate at a dizzying pace. In essence, they have settled into being consumers in their new place. And over time, as the temptations are harder to resist, they settle into being that, into being consumers, gradually allowing a new identity to take hold and to shape them as this. And in this, they have perhaps, in a sense, wandered back even further than the wilderness, back to Egypt, under the empire which was oppressive and which could be called capitalism. And so instead they trade the designation as child of God, steward of creation, steward of all that God has given, and they trade that for the designation as consumer. God knows that liturgy could have spared them this oppression. Here lies the importance of this ancient Jewish ritual for us. A Jewish commentator suggests that the word in verse 11 translated alien or immigrant or stranger is quite likely proselyte, which means someone with the status as any other Israelite. So someone who can also fairly make this very declaration that I delineated, this declaration of faith as they come to the temple and make an offering. As believers and followers of Jesus Christ, a Jewish man and God our Savior, we are grafted into the Jewish lineage and are able to say this declaration ourselves with gratitude. John and Sally would have done well from the start to remember that land and property is a gift, to believe and confess that all their good things come as gifts from God. Furthermore, to give gratitude with a symbolic offering of these good things to God is to live free of oppression. Consumerism enslaves and even gives a new identity not at all unlike the power of slavery the Jewish people lived under in Egypt. Now, the great news is that Jesus has faced the wilderness of temptation for all of us, and he exited it triumphantly on our behalf. Jesus has faced the temptations of the wild places where the tempter comes in various disguises and said no to all of them. The power and effect of Jesus' no is implanted in us. Deuteronomy 26 is placed with Luke 4 as another way to consider going through your Lenten journey this Easter. I think I can suggest to you from this that the road could be one of embodied gratitude, which means expressing thanks with, of course, your bodies, your mouth in confession, and your hands in thanksgiving offerings. This is what you can be grateful for and what you are invited to confess as you go along. Jesus is our starving, wandering Aramean, our homeless Jacob. He wandered the wilderness hungry and thirsty and with no fixed address. He did this both those 40 days in the Judean desert and those 30 years in the promised land of human life on earth. Jesus went down to Egypt. He came to earth, a foreign land, and became a slave to humanity, enduring its oppressions and idolatry. He was treated harshly and was afflicted. He suffered the hard labor of accomplishing a new and better life for all of us. When Jesus cried out on the cross to the Lord, his Father, he cried out for our salvation, for us to be free of the oppressions of this life. And the Father heard his cries and has released us all from the power of whatever oppresses us and gifted us with the freedom to be identified as solely God's children, given good gifts in a fertile home. So the wilderness is behind us in Jesus Christ. But even more astounding, Egypt is behind us. And this not of our doing, but of the Lord God, who gives and gives and gives. Now, John and Sally, well, they have a choice as they grow older together. They can see the promised land as nothing at all related to their acquisitions and triumphs and finally find it. In so doing, they will be more likely to face their up-and-coming deserts, as Jesus did, triumphantly. Finally, how about living this season of Lent, shaking off the label consumer and wearing one that says grateful steward? What if you and I spent the next 40 days not wandering through storefront shops or scrolling, surfing online to shop on websites? What if before heading out the door each day, you left your wallet behind? It might be hard to do if it's on your phone, but try staying away from the dollar stores. Ignoring sales notifications, even perhaps purging your email notifications and pressing unsubscribe. And maybe forget about another pair of socks or earrings or another magazine. Settle into Lent as grateful worshipers of the Lord God who has given you all that you have right now. Leave yourself the chance to be grateful for what you have. Create a space in your life to be good stewards, people who look around our houses and say thank you, rather than look around our houses and say, what could go in that corner? Then make your offering to God and see space for gratitude grow in you this Lent. Amen. Amen.